We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Fan text line 412-928-9370, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And, of course, the fan hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We'll go to the hotline right now, talk to our good friend Dan Konkursky from Pittsburgh Hockey Now. Dan, how are you doing this morning? Hopefully all is well.
Yeah, I'm actually waiting for some real hockey. The Penguins prospects are going to scrimmage beginning at noon.
Well, that should be fun, and that will be up at the complex, I'm assuming?
At the Lemieux complex, you got it.
All right, so you'll get to see a few guys. Are there a few guys they're going to be actually looking out for?
Yeah, they're actually, you know, this might be the most actual prospects this team has had, who, you know, at least have an NHL potential in a decade, you know, not since Brian Rust and Connor Sherry and those kids who came along in 16 and 17. I think as the team actually had a handful of guys in this sort of development camp who Penguins fans could see in the fall.
Okay, well, that's always really exciting, especially, you know, when you cover a sport like hockey, you've got a long off season. It doesn't feel that long for you, I'm sure, because there's always news and things, but at least you get to see a little bit of hockey in your offseason as opposed to just dealing with transactions.
Yeah, these Penguins offseasons keep getting longer and longer, not shorter. But
yeah.
Yes, a little hockey is nice.
Yeah, a little hockey. That is true. When they were getting to the Stanley Cup final, winning the cup, I mean, your offseason was like 6 weeks shorter than it is now. Okay, well, let's just go right with the elephant in the room. I guess it was Rob Rossi reported that Sidney Crosby and the Penguins are basically really closing in on an extension, and I don't know that anybody's surprised by that, but, you know, what does that sort of mean for the Penguins going forward? I mean, if you're going to sign him to an extension, doesn't that mean that you have to do everything in your power then to also try and win?
Yeah, now, I never second-guess other reporters. I don't get into other people's reports. I'm not going to go there in any way. I will tell you, everyone is keeping their cards close to the chest on the situation still. I was told a couple of things over the past few days. My sense is that Sidney Crosby doesn't have a lot of urgency to get this deal done right now. They've been talking now for, let's say, 6 weeks, right? So there obviously has been progress. They're still talking. From there, you can read a lot of things into it, right? Like they're just slow walking it until Sid is done vacationing, or there are real issues to hammer out or are being hammered out. From there, no one, I haven't gotten the sense that anyone has said there's a roadblock to a deal. No one's said that to me. And I think we all do assume, Paul, that Crosby will re-sign. The funny thing is, and I've talked about this with others, and I'll just steer into the skid. I think the reasons that he would re-sign are all emotional, right? He could make more money elsewhere. He'd have a better chance to win elsewhere, but it just kind of speaks to his loyalty and the kind of person he is, that there's almost no question that he's going to re-sign. But I will put the word at the end of that sentence, eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that anyone is really all that surprised that it's going to happen or that it will happen. I mean, for the reasons that you just said, he seemingly has made it very clear, at least publicly, that he would like to,
he'd like to stick around.
Right, he would like to stay here and finish his career and be a one-team guy.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Of the Mount Rushmore of hockey, the four best, Mario, Gretzky, Howe, and Orr, only one of those guys was a one-jersey guy, Paul. And to be quite frank with you, you were around back in 2003 and 2004. You were there, and you saw how miserable Mario was.
Right.
And I always wonder, if he could have, if he didn't own the team, would Mario have been a one-jersey guy? It's just something to maybe chew on a little bit. Because if Sid, say, went to Montreal or Los Angeles, he would become a hockey god even more so than he is now. He would have that sort of second wave and second chapter. I think maybe there are some Penguins fans who want the best for him since he's given them so much of the best. But dovetailing to your original question, as long as Sidney Crosby is going to be a Penguin, yes, they can't nuke the team. They can't tear it down to the studs, which kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit that the biggest forward addition was Kevin Hayes, Anthony Beauvillier, you know, two guys who will struggle to crack 30 points next season. So I think that part is the interesting part and a little bit of a wild card for me.
Yeah, and that would be probably very jarring for Pittsburgh fans if Sidney Crosby were to go elsewhere. But again, all indications seem to be that he is going to, you know, stay here or want to stay here. And the question then becomes, Dan, if you're going to sign him to, say, another two-year deal or three-year deal or whatever it's going to be, aren't you obligated to do everything in your power to put a team around him that would have a shot to maybe win?
In the words of Meatloaf, I will do anything to win, but I won't do that. The Penguins aren't going to mortgage the future any longer. Kyle Dubas has been very clear on that over the last couple or a few weeks, that he urgently, and that was his word, urgently, wants to acquire draft picks and young players. He wants the team to be, quote, younger and hungrier. It is definitely going in that direction. However, it's not like the Penguins have a lot of veterans that other teams are clamoring for. They've got, you know, a couple, maybe a few guys who have legitimate trade value.
Right.
So they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place there, where they'd like to get younger and hungrier, but getting there is just going to take longer because they don't have assets to trade for prospects and draft picks.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the catch-22, which then brings you full circle to say, well, if you let the captain go, then, you know, all of his other buddies will probably follow him out, you know, and waive no trade clauses, and then you can really truly get started on rebuilding.
There is a lot to be said for that. I won't argue with that statement whatsoever because, yeah, if Sid looked at the situation and said, you know what, you have to rebuild and I'm actually in the way, I mean, that's a high character, noble move. And if anybody would pull it off, it would be him. right? And I don't think anybody would begrudge him or have any ill feelings whatsoever. It wouldn't be like the Yager situation where fans booed him for a decade. That would be disgraceful. The rebuild has to start at some point. And Dubas is walking a real tightrope in trying to keep the team competitive for Sidney Crosby, for Chris Letang, Evgeny Malkin, Erik Karlsson, Brian Rust, that handful, but also get to that next era without just stinking for 5 or 6 years too.
Well, again, I just feel like it's one of these things where you if you're the Penguins, have to decide honestly what you want to be, and it feels like they don't want to make that decision. I'm not nearly as close to it as you are. Okay, so I'm not gonna. But it feels like Cal Dubas has one idea, Mike Sullivan has one idea, and Fenway Sports Group has one idea, and they aren't all aligned.
There's a little bit of truth to that. However, everybody's attitude and words at the draft. I was watching a lot of body language, and I was looking for those little holes to exploit or to get into, but they really aren't there. Yes, the Penguins coaches and players want to win today. I do believe Mike Sullivan is accepting that it won't be so easy and it might not be possible. So he's going to kind of keep adapting and adhering how he coaches or what he coaches to the guys that Dubas puts in the room. And listen, Dubas is not doing a bad job of walking this tightrope, Paul. I'll rattle off 5 prospects who could be in the NHL within 2 years, making some sort of impact. From Braden Jaeger, last year's number one pick, I really liked what I saw from Tristan Broz when he turned pro for the last couple of games of Wilkes-Barre's season. The 22 first-round pick, Owen Pickering, is now 6'5", 200 pounds. A year ago, he was 6'3", 180. So he's maturing physically, and he's coming along. And there's a few other guys. Ville Koivunen, they got in the Jake Guentzel trade, has silky mitts. So within the next couple of years, you really might see a handful of guys in the lineup that can transition, that sort of make it worth Crosby's while to be here and even fans' while to show up.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And one of the things, Dan, that we continually talk about and I talk about is the way out of this, in some respects, it might be finding a way to offload Tristan Jarry and say, I don't know, Ryan Graves and maybe even Erik Karlsson. And in doing so in a way that you don't have to retain salary, which would mean you probably have to take the Buddy Ryan exchange, which is when Buddy Ryan traded Ernest Jackson, he said, I'll trade him for a few six-packs, and they don't even have to be cold. So my point is, it might just be a situation where you actually just have to sort of straight dump some salary in order to be able to make some moves.
Well, in a couple of those cases, you would have to affix a draft pick or a prospect to that veteran, thus setting back your revamp, retool, rebuild, whatever label you want to use. The Tristan Jarry conversation is probably going to happen within the next 12 months, either at this coming trade deadline or next summer. I don't think it happens in the next couple of months, only because Joel Blomqvist down in Wilkes-Barre isn't quite ripe. You know, they don't want to pluck him off the tree too early, hurt his confidence, all of those sorts of things. They have to do some cleanup there before he's ready. But when he is ready, that Tristan Jarry talk is going to be very loud and, you know, kind of obvious. And I won't push back on it.
Well, again, I think that's the thing. But why, when you say you have to attach a draft choice, why is that?
That's just, I mean, look, the Penguins acquired Kevin Hayes at the draft. That was a salary dump by St. Louis. They had to affix a second-round pick for the Penguins to swallow a player who isn't worth his salary. That's just how things are done with the NHL salary cap. You essentially pay the other team to take the guy off your hands. That's the market value. You can't just dump him like the NFL where you're like, oh, here, yeah, go ahead and take him. No, you have to pay up in hockey.
Well, okay. I mean, I guess that's interesting. But like I said, if you're willing to give him up for almost nothing, you know, my thing is there's just I guess what's frustrating, Dan, and you cover the team, so, you know, you kind of probably come to the same conclusion as I do at times. But what's frustrating about the Penguins is it feels like they've been in the same holding pattern for 2 or 3 years, and they will not do the rip the Band-Aid off kind of thing you have to do in order to get out of it.
You know, you're right. The funny thing is, the Penguins were a game away from changing this entire conversation we're having today. They had a 3-1 lead on the New York Rangers in the 2022 playoffs. They outplayed the Rangers in all 7 games of that series, but literally some incredibly bad luck. The hockey gods just ganged up on them. Jacob Trouba chicken winging Sidney Crosby, having your third goalie start to look like a third goalie, and a couple terrible decisions by the referees. They lose that series. Had they won that series and maybe gone on a little bit of a playoff run, everything changes at that point. We're having a different conversation today because it has been a holding pattern really since Ron Hextall re-signed Evgeny Malkin. Just circle that one as the moment they had a chance to rip the Band-Aid off, and emotion, loyalty, all those factors got in the way at that moment. So that's why we're here today talking about trying to rebuild without tearing it down and how to walk that tightrope.
And I think that is just, like I said, it's just so frustrating because it feels like we have the same conversations with this team over and over and over again. They did make some free agent moves. They did bring in some guys. They did sign a few guys. Are there any that really excite you as players who might actually make a difference on this team?
Not beyond the fourth line, no, at least in terms of the forwards. I really like Blake Lizotte, who they signed. I think fans will like him. He and Noel Acciari on the same fourth line will be a couple of Tasmanian Devils, which that could be fun to watch, but that's not going to change your team. Matt Grzelcyk, who they essentially signed to replace P.O. Joseph on the left side of the defense, is a nice defenseman. He moves the puck well. He's kind of small. He's not going to move anybody at the net. I don't know which pairing he fits on. He could fit on any of the three pairings, quite frankly. He's only going to be around for a year, and he's not a game changer. He's a plug. They're just going to plug him in for a year to get to next summer and see what's going on. So, no, they really haven't gotten anybody that should excite Penguins fans. I think training camp will be about watching a couple of these prospects we're looking at today, like Braden Jaeger, like Ponomarev they got in the Gensel trade, and seeing which of those guys can step into the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much a good summary that they really haven't changed the trajectory of their team significantly so far this offseason.
No, in fact, on paper anyway, they are not as good as they were at this point last year. If you count Erik Karlsson, you know, they're not as good because Riley Smith to Anthony Beauvillier, regardless of how Smith played last year and all of the noise surrounding him, Beauvillier is a full 2 steps down from Riley Smith. And if they insert Kevin Hayes at center of the third line, which Dubas seemed to hint that was kind of the plan, or at least what he expected anyway, that's a step down from Lars Eller, and maybe a significant step down. So that third line really could just be, you know, a jumbled mess of hope and failure, which could sink the lineup.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see what happens with that. In the meantime, Dan, you got a hockey game to go, or a hockey practice, or is it a camp or whatever? You've got to get a chance to go see some guys skating. And so I think we will let you go, and hopefully you enjoy that.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
All right, brother. That is Dan Kangurski, Pittsburgh Hockey Now. HM3 Partners Independence Fund presents Celebrity Care Fest, benefiting UPMC Children's Hospital Foundation. Two nights of star-studded entertainment, July 26th and 27th. Pat Benatar, Neil Giraudo, Smokey Robinson, and a superstar artist so big we can't say it here. Learn who at hm3.org. Tickets on sale at hm3.org. City Limits, could you imagine a Sidney Crosby in a different uniform?
No. Not at all. Like, I just cannot picture it.
No, I agree. I think that's what we're going to talk about next is because I thought it was really interesting. In some ways, I thought it was very interesting that Dan Kangurski kind of bounced around and hemmed and hawed about, you know, what a new contract might actually be and when it might actually happen.
I could see Chris Letang or Evgeny Malkin in a new uniform. Will it happen? Don't think so. But Crosby? No way. It's going to get done.
This is one of those things where I just tell you, it just is. If Crosby, however, goes to a new uniform, those two guys are definitely going to be in a new uniform. But I think if Crosby is in his uniform, if he stays in a Penguins uniform, those two guys ain't going anywhere either.
Yeah, they're a package deal for the rest of their careers.
Well, we got to do a break. We'll talk about that next. Slice on Broadway is here. I bet you we'll see Joe. Run. Where is it? Joe's like in Buffalo or somewhere, isn't he?
No, he's at the beach in, I think, Delaware.
Okay, he's at the beach. It won't surprise me if we see him pulling into the parking lot to run to be first in line to get the Slice on Broadway pizza today.
To make an early return.
Yes. All right. We got to get to a break. It's 93.7 The Fan.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well. Every so often, a little birdie drops something in my ear that's interesting. Are you ready for this little treat?
I am, but I don't know if Najee Harris's agent's ready for it.
Yeah. I'm told that the Pirates are going to acquire Taylor Ward from the Angels.
What?
An outfielder.
Like, actually?
Paul,
I've been saying Taylor Ward's name for three weeks.
What I'm telling you is I'm being told by someone who is usually very, very credible for me, someone I trust, somebody that I know is knows what's the, you know what I mean? That's somebody who has the goods almost always. Left fielder, 14 home runs, 44 RBIs.
He's a perfect fit for this team. He's arbitration eligible the next two seasons.
Right.
He's got a 1.4 WAR this year, 14 homers, 44 RBIs, you said. He's only hitting .238.
Yeah.
OPS plus of 105.
Yeah.
He would be, I think, second on the team in home runs, maybe third behind Reynolds. And Cruz is right around that area.
Right.
And 44 RBIs would also be in the upper echelon of the team.
Right.
You don't have to give up much to get him either.
No, probably not.
And he's an impactful player. Corner outfield bat has also played third in his career. Him and Brent Rooker are the two guys that I like the most for the Pirates to acquire.
Well, there you have it. I mean, it's one of these things where we are now, you know, now going to be waiting for this to happen.
Now, this isn't something imminent, is it?
At the risk of at the risk of going too far, let's just say I would not be surprised if Taylor Ward is a Pirate by the end of the Brewers series, put it that way. So that's pretty imminent, considering tomorrow at noon is the third game, right?
Yeah, tomorrow at noon.
We're
gonna have to go find the audio.
Yeah,
from our conversations on Taylor Ward from a couple of weeks ago.
So we'll see. I mean, I don't know if they gotten all the way there, but they're trying, you know what I'm saying?
And that's a good move for them. It makes sense.
So they're trying, so we'll see if it happens, right? But that would be a nice addition for them if they're able to pull it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, look, they're not going to get Vlad Guerrero Jr. or Luis Robert.
No.
They're not going to give up the prospect capital for that. But you don't have to give up Bubba Chandler for Taylor Ward.
He's the kind of player, too, that we talked about. I mean, that he'd only be like $2 million, right?
Yeah, right. I mean,
he's
for the rest of the season,
For the rest of the season, he'd be about $2.2 million.
He's 4.8 was the contract that he signed at the beginning of the year. So
they're more than halfway through. So let's say $2.1 million. And here's the thing. That's the kind of move you can make, two of those moves,
right,
and trade a guy like Perez, you know what I mean, and cover the money.
You can get a Taylor Ward, not give up any of those top guys that we were talking about. You're talking what? Maybe a top 15 prospect, Paul, maybe top 20.
Right.
That they would be having to give up. Not too much to the Angels. And then you still have the flexibility and prospect capital, obviously,
right,
to add another outfield bat.
It's one of those things where I think if you add an outfield bat like that, then what? Now all of a sudden, if Sawinski's hitting, you've got Reynolds, Sawinski, and Ward in your outfield, right?
And then what, Taylor's your... I'd want Palacios to be the fourth outfielder. This might be a sign that you're moving off of Michael A. Taylor and just kind of throwing in his white flag.
He's your fourth outfielder now.
Right.
He's now your defensive replacement guy.
So Sawinski would be your center fielder?
Yeah, probably. I mean,
Reynolds in left and Warden right.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Something like that, I mean, would work. He's a guy that's controllable for a couple of years. And he's a guy that obviously he's got a little bit of power, right?
You're probably paying him, if they paid him, what, $8 million, the Angels did this last season?
Yeah.
You're probably paying him $6.5 million, maybe $7 million next year.
And the other part of it is,
topping out at $10 million.
Yeah, the other part of it is he's a righty.
Right.
And you need some help on the right side, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because they're power bats, Sawinski,
right,
Tellez, Reynolds, are all left-handed bats.
Well, Reynolds is a switch, but yes.
Right, but primarily a left-handed bat.
Right. I'm just saying, like, I think if you look at it, it makes a lot of sense.
It does. He's a productive player.
He's a very productive player.
You look at the average and you go, oh, 238, but that unfortunately is kind of the new standard in baseball now, where the batting averages are not very high. Do I like it at all? No. I'd rather see people hitting 260, 270 again. But the production's there.
Right. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, it really would be good.
Ward has 14 home runs and 44 RBIs this year. If you look at the guys on the Pirates roster in terms of their RBI production and home runs, Brian Reynolds is the only player with more home runs and more RBIs than Ward. He is tied with O'Neill Cruz in home runs with 14, and he has three more RBIs than Cruz does, who has 41, Ward with 44.
Right.
So he would automatically be a guy you would plug into the middle of the order, probably batting fifth, maybe fourth, and someone that you can... I mean, who's the three-hitter on this team right now? O'Neill Cruz? I guess.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the leadoff hitter coming into this year, but McCutchen has supplanted him in that role.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's... it is one of these things where, I mean, if you bring in another guy, it's amazing. Like, I have a million people now texting me. It's like, listen, all I'm doing is passing on information. Anyway, if you add another bat to this lineup, it gives you flexibility to move some guys around. You know what I mean?
Right, and if you do move off Chapman, you probably do want to acquire another young, controllable arm in the bullpen.
Right.
Which is decently easy to find.
And I mean, I would tell you this, too. On base of 321... I mean, could he even lead off a little bit? I mean, I don't know.
321 is a decent on-base percentage, but on this team, it's a lot
I'm
better.
Just saying, like, you'd have some flexibility to move him around the lineup a little bit. You know, I mean, the thing about it is, if you look at a guy like Nick Gonzalez, right? He's your perfect, like, five hitter.
Yeah, he's
he
great.
He drives in runs. He drives in runs.
He lengthens your lineup.
He just does. So you have him in the five hole, and, you know, Cruz should be your four hitter, but usually they have him batting third. You know, I don't have a problem with Reynolds or with McCutchen first, Reynolds second.
No, I don't either.
Cruz third. And quite frankly, the way he's hit lately, Rowdy fourth.
Rowdy fourth.
You know what
I mean?
You're
talking Ward six after...
Yeah, after Gonzalez.
Gonzalez?
Ward six and Sawinski seventh.
You could back keep Brian Hayes eighth, and then your catcher ninth.
I mean,
that's a pretty good lineup.
If you have Joey Bart batting ninth, you're in pretty good shape. That's the way it goes.
Curious how much engagement and interaction you're going to get from this.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it happen.
Well, I mean, again, it's just one of those things where it's good. We'll see if it happens now. They're pushing for it. They're trying to get it done.
Here's a hypothetical lineup that was just tweeted in from Ben, a frequent, I think, texter and tweeter to the show. McCutchen leading off with Reynolds batting second, which is where those two have been primarily the whole year.
Right.
Cruz third, Ward fourth, Tellez fifth, Gonzalez sixth, and you bat Joey Bart seventh with Hayes and Sawinski to finish it off, and could make Sawinski the nine hitter because of the average, but also a chance to flip the lineup with some power.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Cabrian Hayes, who Starkey said multiple times was a dark horse MVP candidate in a couple people's mind at the start of the year. I don't know who was saying that, but if you bat him eighth, knowing what he's done for you in the past with some very good hot streaks, I like that lineup.
Yeah.
And you could even replace Sawinski with another bat if you so choose.
Yeah, I don't hate it. So we'll see what happens. It's just a matter of getting it done, right?
And I don't think they have to give up really much at all for Taylor Ward.
Probably not.
Good little nugget there, Paul. Hope it comes to fruition.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I mean, that would really help the lineup.
Again, I mean, you know, it's one of those things that until it's done, it's not done. You know what I mean? Until it's actually done, it's not done.
But it's close.
They're closing in. They're trying to get it done. But we'll see if they can get it done. I mean, obviously, one of the things that happens is the general manager from the Angels picks up the phone and calls seven other teams. Listen, this is what they're offering me for Taylor Ward. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Let's look at it from an Angels perspective. What makes the Angels, unless the Pirates are really giving a good deal, willing to trade Taylor Ward right now instead of at the deadline when teams are more desperate? Like, what would be the motivation from the Angels' point of view?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, they're just trying to – they're done, right?
Yeah, they're not good. They're
so
not making
they're basically trying to, you know, gather some prospects. And you know what? He is making almost $5 million. So if they can trade him, they'll get like $2.2 or $2.3 million in relief, you know?
Yeah, and maybe wanting to get someone else into the organization and the system in terms of prospects they return back that they more quickly want to get into the organization to learn more about and get a chance to play. So that could be another possibility. But no, I'd really like the move if they're able to pull it off. Good power, drives in runs, capable hitter, in a spot that the Pirates have gotten relatively nothing from.
Yeah,
in right field.
Absolutely.
Because Palacios is a perfect fourth outfielder.
Yeah, exactly.
Power potential, decent defense, has some speed, can play in a pinch. That's why Jared Triolo is better on the bench. Connor Joe is better in spurts, playing once or twice a week. That's how you can get the best out of those guys. And it further deepens the team.
Right.
If they're able to acquire Ward.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, if they're able to go get him, it makes everything else around him. I mean, I've said for years, or for weeks and weeks and weeks, a corner outfielder is what they need. More than anything else, right? We've said that for weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, center fielder as well. If you don't acquire a corner,
right.
They've gotten zero production from center field.
Yeah, center fielder, whatever. But I mean, an outfielder. And I guess an outfielder in general.
Yeah, and Brian Reynolds has played center. If you truly want to move him over there, they're probably going to keep him in left.
Just keep him in left and,
move,
you know,
Sawinski.
See what materializes with Sawinski. But at least if you bring in a guy like this, you know, I mean, his numbers are an upgrade over what you have. He obviously has some power. You know what I'm saying? You bring him in there, now all of a sudden you've got another major league bat in your lineup. You know, it's not like you're bringing in, you know, Mike Trout, but you're bringing in somebody that represents an upgrade for your lineup.
And I'm sure it's at a price that the Pirates are comfortable with.
Right. I don't think it's going to cost them all that much. So that's just the way it goes.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and compare Taylor Ward to Vlad Guerrero and Luis Urias or Luis Robert. And Urias could have been had, too, when he was traded to San Diego for not that much, and the Marlins ate some salary.
Yeah.
But we're talking about in terms of production. Ward has tied his home run total from last year. He's three back of his RBI total. Played 97 games last year. Dealt with a facial fracture that allowed him to... Well, it didn't allow him to play the rest of the season, or else you could be talking about a 25-homer, 75-plus RBI guy.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Our baseball coverage, which right now we're talking baseball, our baseball coverage on the Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still have – Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon using their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Well, let's talk about this. What do you think a guy like him that's controllable, that's, I don't know, I mean, what his OPS plus was 103 or something, so he's a little above average.
Yeah.
Okay. What if it costs you, like, I don't know, does Alika Williams have any value?
No. Defensively, yes, but
I'm trying to think of what you have that is realistic that someone might value. Wow. Would you part ways with like a Pagero?
At this point, yes, because I think Nick is starting second baseman and you have O'Neill Cruz at short. And I mean, you pay Ke'Bryan Hayes. Where is Leiva Pagero going to play?
Right.
Do you prefer him or Triola?
You're obviously not going to give up one of your two or three top guys or whatever.
No, you're not giving up Chandler.
They have a right-handed pitcher that's like their seventh or eighth best prospect.
You're talking about Thomas Arrington?
Yeah. How about a guy like that?
He's your fourth prospect right now, sneaking into the top 100s. I don't think you have to give up that.
Don't you have like someone like that's like seven or eight or nine?
Mike Burrows?
Mike Burrows.
Not healthy yet. Still making his way back from Tommy John.
But he's a young pitcher.
Yes.
How about a deal like him and, say, whoever's 18th on your list?
I could see, like, Mitch Jeb and some random guy in the top 30 from, like, 25 on. And that's all that it takes.
Yeah.
You do not have to give up much for Taylor Ward. Because in so many of these trades, it's based off of stars and big-time potential and athleticism and tools. And Taylor Ward isn't a five-tool guy, like some of the other names that we've mentioned. And that's, I think, part of the reason why you're not going to have to give up more than two top 30 guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we've just seen it in recent history with some of these trades that have been made.
Yeah. Well, again, that's where we're at right now. You know, I feel like it's just something to go take a look at.
You're talking Mitch Jeb is probably the highest prospect that would go in this. And I don't even think, maybe Jack Brannigan at eight.
I don't even think you'd need to give up Mitch Jeb.
No, I don't either. You're talking maybe like Yordanis De Los Santos at 15 or Garrett Forrester, who plays three different positions at 17.
Yeah.
Plus maybe like an A-ball pitcher.
Yeah.
Giving up much.
How about if I say you got to give up Jun-Sek Shim and
the pitcher. I think he's injured.
And Jesus Castillo. I don't know. He's 20 years old. He's a utility guy. He's ranked 22nd in your system.
Yeah, Shim, the pitcher. He's hurt, but he was a top 50 international prospect that they signed. 750,000.
Okay, we can't give it. Can't give him up.
Well, I'm not saying that, but it seems that they're pretty high on him, so it makes sense if somebody else was.
How about Michael Kennedy, left-handed pitcher, 19 years old?
I do that.
See, that's the kind of deal. I don't know how that hurts you, giving up a 19-year-old pitcher. I don't care if he becomes Cy Young. He's 19 years old. You know what I mean?
I'm sure that was the Dodgers' argument when Tody Watson was traded for O'Neill Cruz.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who would have known?
Yeah,
the point is you don't have to give up much. We're not talking depleting the top 10 for Taylor Ward. Probably a top 15 guy and one top 30 guy. And that's it. Two pieces. If there's a third, A-ball guy, lottery ticket type of player.
We'll see.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.